Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Deborah J. Halleck. Are you looking for an inspirational and impactful speaker who can bring a lively, transformative experience to your event? Deborah J. Halleck, with her expertise as a speaker, multi-time international number one best-selling author, award-winning sales trainer, and productivity facilitator, helps businesses and professionals achieve remarkable results. She is a divine wordsmith with an amazing gift for having the right words and ideas that resonate with the people she presents to, combining her creative mind with practical strategies to propel her audience forward. Her unique approach will help you shift your thoughts and boost productivity to new heights. Deborah is available for speaking engagements, and she covers a range of customized, impactful topics, including customer service, unique visual perspective, which we're going to be getting into, I think, a little bit today. Deborah is the accomplished author of the anthology book, Live Life in Wow, Nuggets of Wonder, Openness, and Wisdom, and co-author and several other inspiring books. Deborah, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It is my absolute pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here. It's always so much fun when we get to chat.
It is. And we had a great chat. We had a great time chatting during our pre-call. And we were brought together by, I believe, one of the masters of bringing individuals of all walks of life together, Keith McNally. Keith had suggested that you would be a good guest for the podcast. We chatted, and it was a perfect fit. And I've been looking forward to speaking with you for some time now.
Thank you. Yes. And I appreciate Keith for doing so. He is wonderful. He's also got a wonderful podcast, too, and great to be on his show as well. And I also thank him very much for bringing us together.
With that, I guess we might as well get right down to it. My first question for you, Deborah, is please tell our listeners about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions.
Wow, this would be a very long conversation. So I get around to what? There's a few things that, you know, from incidentally, I grew up on a farm. I think a pretty good childhood all in all, when you come to experiential life's journey, three sisters and a brother. I love growing up on a farm. I love the freedom that I grew up with. There are some memories of when I was a child that weren't the greatest, and one that shaped my life was a bullying incident with an adult. And just to make the long and short of it, I internalized the comments that were made and allowed them to affect me for a good majority of my life, which, as I look back on it now, was not the smartest decision. So I'm working on a book, actually, called The Bully Lives Within, to share that experience with others so that perhaps can we thought of that will think twice a little bit before they face certain things to kids. So that was, there's been a few inches about that sort of thing in my life, but I've moved beyond it. And I used to sing solo. So that was something that shaped my life. I'm very proud to have the gifted voice and should have probably done more with it, but life took me on a different path. Or it shaped the tone at a pretty young age. I was 16 and wasn't in a fight or anything with my parents. I got a really good job and we only have one vehicle, and so I had to really do some convincing with my dad, believe me. But I think that's when my sales skill started to develop, because to be able to convince him to let me leave home was nothing short of a small miracle, I'm sure. So I went on to do different jobs and Luckily, again, I grew up at a time when jobs were plentiful and we basically knocked on a door, and if there was a position open and you were qualified, you got the job. It was just so much easier in so many ways. I learned how to speak to people. I learned how to just so many things that were so valuable about those experiences. You had to put yourself out there. It wasn't like now where you're behind a computer and you're phoned in with a form. Or I was always a curious person and always wanted to learn and grow and do things. I've been, again, very fortunate to be in different jobs and positions in my life where I have those opportunities. And I learned from so many great people. And that's one of the things that got me into doing what I call a selfie of a different sort. And it's one of the topics that I speak on.
It sounds like you've had an interesting path and also a very empowering path at a young age. Like you said, it's 16. I don't know too many parents who would let their daughters go out and try to strike it on their own. The fact that you were empowered at an early age to do that, I think, speaks volumes for the trust and the atmosphere that you grew up in, and particularly the values that were imparted in terms of learn to make your way in the world, get as many experiences as you can, and co-create your own reality in conjunction with the universe. And you got to do that at a young age. And not too many people get that opportunity, Deborah.
I suppose that's true. And I still was in very close contact with my family all the time. My parents, my dad brought me food from the farm. I used to go and help on the farm. It wasn't like I didn't live very far away. Basically, mm-hmm. I was about 8.5 miles away from home. Well, it's not like I left to another province at that point in time. I am Canadian, so I do speak in provinces. At that point in time, I wasn't too far away from home. I still really enjoyed the family very much.
And I think that's the ideal. My college students said I picked Utica University because it was 2 to 3 hours from home. So I was far enough away from home to be autonomous, but close enough where I could still connect with family. And I think that's the ideal balance. One of the things that we talked about was a topic called Kirlian photography and your interest with that. First of all, what is Kirlian photography? What drew you to the technique? And how have you used it to inform your work with individuals who request services from you?
Well, that certainly is an interesting phase of my life. And it has completely changed my attitude, the way I look at life. And I feel for most people that I don't know of anyone that I have done pictures for that didn't also have that same feeling. My mentor was Dr. Agnes Kroll, who's now not on this plane anymore, but she was an amazing, giving, intelligent, curious scientist. I had the pleasure of meeting her and getting to know her. And when she first took my column picture, it was astounding because I looked at this picture, and basically what Kirlian photography is in a nutshell, which this isn't the real scientific version, but it was discovered accidentally by Dr. Kirlian. And what he discovered was that, and what psychics and visionaries have been saying for thousands of years, is that we all have an energy field. But what he ended up doing accidentally was being able to take a picture. So over the years, what was perfected by him and others, where you could take a picture of inanimate, non-living object, there is energy in all of it. So that became very profound for me. And when she took a picture, it was a four exposure picture of the auras of the fingertip. She did different thoughts that we all have on this one Polaroid, four exposures on one film. And the first thought was a normal thought, just a thought that everybody has, whatever popped into their head. And of course, our subconscious picks it up faster than we do consciously, right? So you don't really have to wait for a person to think about it, because you can tell when the energy changes. And there was a normal thought. And then there was the next thought that was suggested was a happy thought. So again, same procedure, but on this one, we just moved the fingers down a little bit on the Polaroid film. Then the next one was a frustrating thought. something that frustrated or made you angry. And the last thought on the same exposures was a purpose thought, whatever that meant to me. When I saw the picture after 60 seconds of it developing, those of us don't know what Polaroid pictures do, when we take the Polaroid out and take the film off and the chemicals develop images. The image wasn't pretty. Believe me, it was, you know. And I didn't consider myself to even then to be very negative or anything about me. But wow, when I looked at that picture, and she didn't even have to tell me that wasn't a good picture. She didn't even have to tell me it was poor energy because I could see it on my own. And so that's when she read by and explained to me the different meridians and the far, it was fragmented. And so I realized at that moment that it was going to be up to me to change. Nobody was going to be able to do it for me. And there it was, right there, in living color. Mm-hmm. So when you can see what thoughts actually look like, it changes your whole perspective. And so that becomes a bit of my mission, is to teach people, share about with them, so that they too may have the opportunity to think, what are my thoughts looking like when I'm angry or when I'm yelling at my children or when I'm not being nice to my coworker? And it makes you think.
It does. And particularly, I think when you can see something and you can visualize it and see it in pictures, I think it has a terrific impact. Many of us are visual learners. Many of us respond more positively to visual stimuli. Many of us may tend to ponder on the course of our lives based on visual stimuli that are shown to us or pictures. But I do believe that there's different forms of energy. I think we're all energy anyway. And I think if we have a positive thought, our energy is going to align with that. If we have a negative thought, it's going to align with that. It's basically, we are what we manifest, and that comes out energetically. If we're having a good day and we're positive, we're going to attract positive individuals, positive events. If it's the opposite, we're going to attract negative energy and we're going to run into a lot of different obstacles. I believe we are what we manifest and we attract what we manifest.
I agree 100%. And one of the things that I've learned, it wasn't so easy to learn either, Dave, was when I realized that I was responsible, not Dr. Crowley, not my friends, not my parents. Nobody else was responsible for my thoughts, wherever it's there. And this just adds to that element. And I agree with you. We're responsible for what we manifest. And if we're not manifesting what we want, we have to take a look at how we're thinking. Wasn't it the late Zig Ziglar who said, give yourself a checkbook from the neck up to change your stinking thinking? Wasn't that his quote?
Yep, I believe that was. And Zig Ziglar's been known for a lot of profound truths anyway, but I think you're right. I think we tend to change more quickly and for the better when we assume responsibility for our own actions and not blame anybody else. That, to me, is the key to overcoming any type of challenge or achieving our goals, is being accountable. And the other thing is also being aware that we are responsible for the consequences that we bring in, because every behavioral choice, every thought that we have has a consequence that's attached to that. And I always tell individuals, if you're going to choose a consequence, make sure you're choosing wisely.
Very sage advice. And you mentioned blame, right? Not to blame anyone else. I think it's important for us to let go of the blame for ourselves for something, especially when we weren't aware. But if we didn't know, if you don't know, then you can't, to blame yourself isn't fair either.
No.
But once you know better, then you have the responsibility to do that, legally.
I think most people do the best they can given the circumstances they were dealt with. But once they have a chance to analyze that, it's our responsibility, I believe, to say, okay, what can I learn from this experience? What do I need to improve? And how can I use that prior event in my life to construct the present and future of my choosing moving forward? And we're all going to make mistakes. We're living the human experience, but It's how we respond to the mistakes that we make. And it's what we choose to learn from that's going to determine the quality of that interaction.
100%. 100%. I agree with you. And do you think it's okay, Dave, if I was to show some pictures if we could share and just think that'd be all right?
Absolutely. This is your platform. I'm just holding space for it. So you, whatever's going to make you comfortable in that platform, it is going to be particularly of interest to our YouTube watchers. So go right ahead.
For people who are listening on audio, they'll have to go to the YouTube to see the picture. Can you see it, Dave?
I could see it.
All right. This is what I call a selfie of a different sort. And I'm just going to do what I like call the Reader's Digest version which were just some slides for a presentation. Here's one of those pictures that I mentioned, the one that I said didn't look very good. On the top here, if you can all see this top row with the fingertip and the aura around the fingertip, so that's the energy.
Yep.
You can see it's very broken. And that was the happy thought. And then the next one was the normal thought. And the next one was the frustration. And then, remember I mentioned there was a fourth one that was my perfect thought? It's not even existent except in dark circles here.
So,
as I say, it's not a very pretty picture. You can see there's fragment. And if you can see, Dave, can you see this frustration line here, how much brighter it is than all the rest? Can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
That tells you where my energy was.
Yep.
Most of it was going to frustration. So this is a picture that I'll go into more, but I think I mentioned to you that I, to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only person in the world who's done a study in business using Carlene photography. And this was one of the pictures from there. So again, the fourth thought, normal, is very fragmented and not much energy. Frustration, a lot of energy there. And I was saying that this person, maybe their perfect thought, obviously they're very frustrated because the questions were about work. They're very frustrated with their work. And then the perfect thought, I said, perhaps wasn't even that they wanted to be there. So it really a lot of focus on negativity at work, which isn't good for anybody. And so then this picture is one that was somebody who was a lot more satisfied with their work. And you can see the change, right? Look at the difference in the auras. So I guess if you go to this picture and jump to this picture.
Oh, yeah.
But then look what happens when you see this picture. Very balanced energy, nice thick auras on all levels, and lots of intuition and lots going on. And I think this might be somebody a person might want to hang out with.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that was mine.
That's fascinating. You can see the intensity of the energy rings, as I'll call them, to be extremely high for those people with greater satisfaction. Those people who had a really balanced emotional state, as opposed to individuals who are just simply frustrated, sad. You can see the difference in terms of our energy fields. I think that's fascinating. That's fascinating.
One of the things, Dave, that I did mention also, the fingers, those the different meridians that it pertains to on the body. You've got your heart meridian, your intuitive, just the four different meridians that they pertain to, which also can tell you different nutritional balance, but can tell you emotional imbalance, all sorts of things. I believe that it's really important for us to get those pictures in our mind and to have them. I had the privilege, actually, also of being able to take a picture of a gentleman's aura, his heart, based on the same thoughts, happy, normal, happy, frustration, and perfect. And he was a gentleman who had cancer. And he was having a Reiki treatment. And he allowed me to take this picture before the Reiki treatment and after. And the significant difference in his entire being was amazing. It was astounding. So I have lots of pictures like that I can show people. Unfortunately, I can't get the film anymore to do the actual photographs. Just breaks my heart. And so people from Polaroid are listening. I sure hope we start making that film again.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to share this with everybody in the world to help them just change their thinking, help uplift everywhere. I like to share this at work because we spend so much of our lives working. And a lot of people, yeah, now we have hybrid and we have more people working at home. But when people are with other people and other people's energies, we affect other people's energy, whether we think we are or not. We might be thinking, oh, I'm just in a bad mood, but nobody knows. Yes, they do.
And the other thing is that other people's energy affects us, and particularly if we're empaths. Empaths are very energy sensitive, and they take in a lot of negative and positive energy, which also affects their own internal energy fields. It keeps them out of balance, which is why, and I've talked to a lot of holistic practitioners who really suggest protective meditations, white light meditations, as a form of self-care for individuals who are energy sensitive, who carry not only their own energetic challenges, but those of others. Self-care needs to be emphasized in any helping profession, but particularly when you're looking at individuals who are very energy sensitive, that's even more crucial that be a part of their ongoing self-improvement program.
I agree. And one thing about drone photography, too, it's used in medicine, psychology, all sorts of modalities. Some people, oh, it's way out there. Not really. It's been proven that we all have an energy field and we can't store energy. So
the other thing, too, you mentioned the individual whose energy looked much more balanced, much more positive, intense, and in alignment after Reiki. There's been research where that has indicated that several holistic practices, whether it's Reiki, whether it's yoga, whether it's meditation, can improve physical and mental health care outcomes. Now, of course, we can't dispel the role that Western medicine has and the utility of Western medicine, but we're looking now, I think, at more integrative approaches. I think you're seeing where holistic practices can form a nice integration with established empirical-based medical practices or scientific practices. And I think that's becoming more and more key, that we are going to be, I think, aligned more towards integrative practices than just being discipline-specific.
I agree. And I hope it does get more and more because there's such value in all of it. To me, I believe it's all, for some people call it God, some people call it something else, call it whatever you want. But it's all gifts that we've been given. And we're living in a time, we're blessed to live in a time of modern technology, but it is just so amazing. Here you and I are on opposite ends of two countries, right across, and here we are having a wonderful chat. We can see each other. I remember when they used to say, oh, someday we're going to be able to talk to people and see them. And I remember thinking, wow.
Yeah, this is one of the things about COVID. If there's a positive side to the COVID piece was that we had to use Zoom, we had to use Google Hangouts, we had to use a variety of different video chat apps to begin to bridge that connection. And what it did is it brought a lot of us together from different countries. I talked to somebody yesterday from New Zealand over Zoom, and we could never have done that 30 years ago.
I have a fellow that helps me with YouTube and other things, and he's in Bangladesh.
Yep.
And we chat on a regular basis, and it's wonderful. And I would never have met them before, had it not been for the internet and things like that. It really is an amazing time.
Well, you mentioned that you did some research with Kirlian photography in the business world. What were the results, and how did those results inform your work in your business, which I believe is a Smash Through Mentor? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's what I've become, I guess. Bestowed upon me by one of my friends. It's just because I believe in getting it done. Let's just get it done and have some fun doing it first. And then how all that became. But yes, I did do a study with a business that graciously allowed me to come in, and the volunteers and executives, management, staff, it was all volunteer. Nobody was forced by any means to do it, but everybody was pretty excited. And I did exactly that. I took pictures of them based on work, questions about work, a normal thought about work, happy, frustrating, and grateful. And then I showed them the picture. We chatted for about 5 minutes, and I didn't ever know what any of them were thinking. And I didn't want to know. And to this day, I don't. The big part about that is because the practitioner doesn't know, the person, when they see the picture, knows it's there.
Yep.
There's no influence on the practitioner because you have no idea what they're thinking. So we chatted and I would read the picture for them and share with them the information as I do when I'm speaking now and teaching people about this and other things to do with sales. And I'll go into much greater detail than obviously I can go into here. But then we talk and we feel this thought here. You can see where the energy, you're focusing a lot of your energy on frustration. Is there something in your mind that you could just look at to make it less frustrating for you? Is there anything that you could feel? And so we went through every thought like that. And then, so that was about 5 minutes that I would go over things with them. And then we took another picture. And they got to see the difference. Just with that short, tiny period of time. And that's how fast David can change. It's, and it was fascinating. And it was life-altering for many of those people. And some of them I do know, and they still talk about it. And it's been many years since I did that study. But it's as valid today as it was then.
Yeah, I think if we are with a supportive mentor, a supportive consultant who essentially empowers individuals and instills hope that they can change the way they think, and they buy into that message because they buy into the persona of the consultant that they're dealing with, it says it's a powerful paradigm shift. And cognitive behavioral therapy is something that has been an evidence-based practice that we've used across all types with all types of individuals who have experienced challenges. And it works. And particularly when the person is motivated to change and they're receptive to change and they trust the message of the person that they're working with, that change is going to be almost literally going to be mind-boggling. And it's going to be transformative.
And it was. And it was for me. And I'll maintain that, like I say, everybody I'll come in contact with has basically felt the same. That they were on the right track. That the way they were thinking was valid and beneficial for themselves. And it was a picture what they could look at and remember that feeling. And that's an important thing, too, because we know when we're feeling down, negative, or anything. We know our energy isn't up there, that it's not good. We know that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell us. You don't need a curling picture to even tell you that.
No.
Because we all know. But when we can see it, and then we go, oh, geez, that was, well, my energy is really daunting. Okay, so how can I change that? What would my picture look like? Oh, it wouldn't be very cool. Okay, I want a better picture. So how do I look at that? And that's really all it takes. It doesn't have to be monumental steps. You can't go from being in despair or anger and frustration to ecstasy in a heartbeat. Unless you've just found out you've won the lotto, maybe that'll do it.
It's baby steps. So you're not going to go from being down and out or being depressed or feeling hopeless to ecstasy in one or two sessions. It's baby steps. And we have to celebrate whatever progress, however big or small along the way. So if you took two steps forward and one step backwards, you still made progress. You're still one step ahead of where you were before. And it's just to celebrate those small steps and focus on movement, not the time it takes to get from point A to point B to point C.
Absolutely. I love that. Love that. I might have to use that, David.
Feel free. None of what I say is copyrighted. At least that comes from me. So it's feel free to use it with whoever it's going to be the most help to.
Wow.
I believe we're all in this together and we all should work together for the betterment of helping individuals reach their goals and transcend challenges. It takes a whole bunch of us to do that. That's not just one person.
Oh, I agree. And the more we talk about it and the more we share it and the more modalities that are out there, the better it is, because not everything works for one person. What resonates with me may not resonate with you. It may not resonate with someone else. And vice versa, right? So it's wonderful that there's so much out there and we should take what's beneficial to ourselves. Don't worry about whether somebody else is doing something different than you. If they're doing and reaching what they're wanting to achieve and you are, so who cares? Well, you got there as long as it was you didn't hurt anybody else, and it was helping, and it's a positive move forward, go ahead. Please share with people. Be happy for people's accomplishments. Talk to them about. Talk to them. Be proud of what they've accomplished.
Well, if we all got to the same point the same way, we'd have nothing to learn from each other.
If we all got along this perfectly, what a boring world we'd have.
That's right. So I tell people, don't let anybody steal your mojo. Bounce along your path the way that's best for you. As long as you're not hurting anybody else or hurting yourself, it's all good, and we can all learn from it.
It's wonderful. And we can all find, well, I like to call it the wow. We can all find wonderful things about all kinds of. You might not agree if somebody has purple or green hair. So what? They like it. It's obviously making them feel good. So why can't you just bask in the fact that they feel good about it?
Bask in the fact that they're celebrating their individuality, and that behind the purple hair is an individual that, in all likelihood, is going to have values, is going to have a sense of right or wrong, who's going to be intelligent, who's going to want to make their mark in the world. So if they got purple hair or green hair, or are wearing their hair down to their butt, doesn't matter.
It's awful.
It's what values does that person bring to the table? Do they have integrity? And if they have integrity, I'll hang with that person all day long. If they don't, I just feel free to tell them the door is that way. I saw this on your website, and a sentence that intrigued me. It said, her unique approach will help you create a selfie of a different sort, shifting your thoughts and boosting productivity to new heights. So tell me how this works with clients that request services from you.
That's basically the Crowleyan photography. When I show people the thought and teach them about what they mean, when I can go into detail about the pictures and different pictures so people can get a well-rounded picture of different thoughts and different scenarios and of all different walks of life and different situations. But when I can explain that to people, and it is selfie of a different sort because you're looking internally at your own selfie. It's not a selfie that you're taking with your camera. It's a selfie that you're taking internally. And only you know what that's going to look like. Only you are going to see that picture in your mind. Why I spoke about it boosts productivity is because when people have that benchmark to work with, and they know when they're changing the way they think toward what they want and away from what they don't, or what they're focused upon that maybe isn't feeling so great at the time, but they have the power to change that. It empowers people. And when you're empowered, you feel better about yourself. You feel better about the world around you, and you feel better about what you've been through. So I feel that it makes a huge difference in sales, in working with other people, with colleagues. It just makes a whole different environment. And because I've got such a strong sales background for so many years and have done so well in the area of sales, that when I teach this to people, they can apply it directly.
Yeah.
But it's applicable on every walk of life.
I think if you change the way you think, your behavior follows suit. If your thoughts are self-defeating, your behavior is going to be self-defeating. It stands to reason that if your thoughts are positive, your behavior is going to be positive, and it's going to be more goal-directed, it's going to be more goal-oriented, and it's going to translate into productivity in all areas of that person's life, whether it be relationships, whether it be business, whether it be with family. It's just going to have a trickle-down effect. And thoughts are powerful.
I agree. And like I say, we don't need someone else to prove that to us.
No.
We can just look back and take an inventory of our own life, and we can figure that out. I encourage people to do that. I encourage people to look back over their life. I can look back to pretty much my entire adult life for sure. And I can tell you, based on the experiences that were occurring in my life at that time, where my energy was at. And like I say, I had attracted some things that weren't so absolutely wonderful to myself. As I look back on it, not all that proud of some of them, but you know what? I look back and I learn from them. And what did I learn? I changed the way I was thinking. And how did it change for me? And what came next?
And I think we learn as much or more from the missteps in our lives than we do from the good things that happen, because it's in the mistakes that we make or the decisions that we made that we thought were going to turn out a certain way that didn't, is that we learned the most about ourselves and about the world around us. I think mistakes are part of the deal of the human experience anyway, and that if we look at mistakes as information, they don't become something that weighs us down. We just look at it as, okay, this happened. What can I do moving forward?
It's an experience.
Yeah.
And as Abraham Hicks says, you have to have contrast to make a decision. Uh-huh. We have to have contrast to make any decision. And when we think that, but contrast doesn't mean it has to be negative. Contrast is, do I drink from the blue coffee cup today or the clear glass?
Yep.
That's contrast, but it's not negative. Sure. Take your pick. You're still going to be able to have coffee if you want coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, which cup are we empowering ourselves to choose for that day?
Exactly.
And we can dictate contrast as it relates to what's going on in our own lives. And you're right, it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. It just means we need a little bit of a change of scenery. We need a little bit of a change of pace or a change of thinking or a change of strategy.
I think we just are in a constant state of adjustment. And when we look at that, and we look at it as just adjusting in a good way, life just gets better and better. It went, okay, well, a little bit cloudy today and a little bit cool. We'll just adjust and wear a sweater. Right? You don't get all mad and upset. A little bit cool outside and you have to wear a sweater.
Yeah, you would, in doing that, you conserve your energy on things that matter. And you pick which battle you're going to fight that day, as opposed to leaking energy over things that we have no control of. So you mentioned the wow earlier. That's going to lead me into my next question about what inspired your book, Live Life in the Wow, Nuggets of Wonder, Openness, and Wisdom. And what are you hoping readers take away from your book?
Wow is an acronym. Here's the book itself. You can see that there.
Yeah, I can.
Is wonder, the wow is wonder, openness, and wisdom. And again, just like with the Carolean photography and changing the way we think, my other favorite topic is wow. And I say wow all the time. And I believe there's some sort of wow in every language and everywhere, whatever it may be. But I believe it, there's that expression everywhere. I haven't done major research on it, so I'm not sure. But all about the beliefs I like to hold. I'm encouraging people through the book to look for the wow in every experience. And again, it's easy for us to do that when things are just going along wonderfully. Oh, we're happy and everything's wonderful. And so it's easy to find the wow in those kinds of situations. But I really want to encourage people to find the wow in every situation. Sometimes the wow that we find in the situations that are what one might call a negative experience, or a learning experience, or even more profound than the ones that we find. So that is what this book was all about. I wrote this book with and on behalf of 14 other authors. The stories in it are amazing. What makes this book a little bit different is that there's a wow summary written by each of the authors with their takeaway on what they felt the biggest wow was in their story. And what we've done is we've included the contact information for each of the authors for people to get out, to actually have conversations with, create dialogue, talk to them, find out. Maybe you read the story and you have a different wow take. What a wonderful dialogue that made and conversation. That's what we've encouraged. And the book, I'm really proud to say, it was published on Amazon and we did reach number one the first day and we stayed in for number one for a bit. And we are still, and it's over 18 months later now, or let's see, December 10th of 2022 is when we first published the book. So we are still in the top 100 in some categories in Canada, and we are still in the top 200 in some categories on .com. So that is quite, I think, an amazing feat in itself. So I'm really proud of the authors and the stories in this book, and so much so that it was our goal to make it into a series. And we are now offering the second book, which is going to be called Live Life in Wild, Pearls of Wonder, Open with the Wisdom. And we are inviting authors, and I've got an affiliate program on that. And it pays quite well. So if people are interested in either writing a chapter or becoming an affiliate or both, there's that opportunity. And that's what that's all about. So I'm looking for just put the offer out there for people who might want to join us. And of course, our number one goal is to make it the number one bestseller. So whether you're a seasoned author or you're brand new, we help you all the way through it. We do some classes and we teach and we help you mold your story, and we help bring your story out in your words. Well, of course, there will be editing that takes place. We still want it to sound like that, right?
I think it's great that your first book and your upcoming book is giving a platform for individual stories to unfold, because I think one of the biggest tragedies, and I may be paraphrasing Maya Angelou, is that the greatest tragedy is a story that remains untold. And giving individuals a voice, and also collectively, we can begin to see that we can individually and collectively create to something greater than ourselves. So we look at the wow factor, or we look at the awe factor, and it's like when we have that sense of connection to something greater than ourselves, whether it's directly with the universe or directly with a community who's experienced that, it just gives us so much meaning in life and is protective against a lot of challenges we could face. So I think it's great that you've done the first book. I'm glad to see that the second one is on the horizon, and I know that's going to be a great read. So we'll probably be looking forward to, maybe we can have you back when the book is close to completion or ready to be dropped, and we can do a podcast around that whole experience too.
Oh, I'd love that, Dave. Thank you so much. That would be an honor and a pleasure for sure.
You're welcome. One of the last questions I have for you, if you're going to leave our audience with one thing today, Deborah, what would that be?
It would be to look for the wonder, the openness, and the wisdom, and to really think about how you want your life to go and what thoughts, how are your thoughts shaping your life goal.
I like it. Those are good words of wisdom, particularly in the context of what we've been talking about today. So thank you for that. And finally, if individuals want to get in touch with you, want to contract for your services, or find out about other resources that you are offering, what is the best way for them to do that?
I really love it when people reach out on LinkedIn. I am on LinkedIn, Brenda Decker K. Holland. So feel free to do a search and look me up there, and we'll have the link in the notes probably. And my website is www.smashthroughmentor.com. And I'm on Facebook. So I really am fairly easy to find. And I love to connect with people. And actually, Dave, also, if it's all right with you, I'd like to offer your audience a free gift if they're interested. And that is an ebook copy of the book, Nuggets of Wonder, Openness, and Wisdom, the first book. So for taking the time to listen to the podcast, and hopefully they're going to subscribe and share your channel with everyone. And if they'd like to do that, we'll have a link there that I'll provide for you for them to just click. And there is an opt-in, because of course we have to know where to send the book, and for them to get a free copy of a book. You know, I think they'd enjoy it, and I'd sure love to hear what they think of it.
Yeah. When you send me the link, all of that will go in the program notes along with your contact information, website. It will all be there. So, Deborah, thank you so much for being a guest contributor today on the Teaching Journeys podcast. I truly enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. That is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.